بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك علما ينفعنا وارفعنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. And we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in those blessings. By the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached lesson number 6 bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our reading of Al-Mukhtasar Al-Latif, the short abridgment by Ba-Fadl. Today's lesson will be dealing with the etiquette of relieving oneself. And we're going to go directly into the text, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first part would be basically, as an introduction, looking at the concept of adab. The word adab is the plural of the word adab, and it is loosely translated as etiquette. So we're going to define the term adab. Our scholars say that the definition of adab reads as follows. Al-umur al-maqlooba. Al-umur, the plural of the word amr, referring to matters. Al-maqlooba, matters that are maqlooba. Talaba means to request, matters that are requested, matters that are considered good, min qadil hajat, from the person fulfilling his need. So in context, the word adab refers to etiquette. Literally, in context, it refers to those etiquette that are becoming for a person fulfilling his need to have. Now, when we look at etiquette in general, our scholars say that etiquette, it can either be recommended or it can be a necessary etiquette that you have to comply with. In relation to what we're going to mention, the author of the explanatory notes, he says, جميع ما ذكره المؤلف محمول على الاستحباب. Whatever etiquettes are going to be mentioned in today's lesson in terms of the core text, those etiquettes fall into the ambit of recommended etiquettes. In other words, the entire lesson today refers to etiquette, recommended etiquette, and it doesn't deal with that which is compulsory in terms of the core text. We may, in terms of our explanation of the text, get into certain etiquette which is necessary. But in terms of the core text provided by Ba-Fadl, the core text really talks about recommended etiquettes. So inshallah, without further ado, let us get into that particular etiquette. What does it refer to? Allow me 1 second to cancel my WhatsApp so it doesn't buzz as we're going along. Barakallahu feekum. So in terms of the etiquette, we're going to now read through the following bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We looked at the definition. Now we're going to the following. يقدم داخل الخلاء أو يقدم داخل الخلاء يساره وإذا خرج يمينه. Let's look at that etiquette. يقدم داخل الخلاء. The person entering into the toilet or that space wherein he's going to relieve himself. يقدم داخل الخلاء. The person entering into the toilet, he should place forth يساره, his left foot. In other words, the etiquette is to enter into the toilet with your left foot. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ, when the person fulfilling his need, passing water or passing stool, when he exits, وَإِذَا خَرَجَ يَمِينَهُ, then he should place his right leg first. So this is something which you are quite familiar with. When we enter into the toilet, we enter with our left foot. when we enter, when we exit the toilet, we exit with our left foot. So here what happens is, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, what he does is, he gives us the rule, and then he establishes a principle. What is the rule? The rule, in terms of the context, which is entering into the toilet, هذا الأدب, this etiquette of entering the toilet with your left foot and exiting with the right foot, هذا الأدب متفق على استحبابي. It is agreed upon by all scholars that it is recommended that you enter with your left foot. The principle that we draw there from, and which would benefit us in other spheres of our life, what is that principle? The principle is وَهَذِي قَاعِدَةٌ مَعْرُوفَةٌ وَهِيَ. This is a known principle, a known rule. What is the known principle? أَنَّ مَا كَانَ مِنَ التَّكْرِيمِ بُدِئَ فِيهِ بِالْيُمْنَى وَخِلَافُهُ بِالْيَسَارِ. If it is a matter of honor, and then we start with the right, otherwise we are going to start with the left. So now going into the toilet, it's not a matter of honor, and therefore we go into the toilet with the left foot. But when we exit the toilet now from that space to a greater space, in other words, the space outside of the toilet, so because it's an honorable thing, relatively speaking, so we're going to do that with our right foot, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We think of an example, Wallahu A'lam, this is the one that comes to mind now, in terms of applying the principle outside of this context. What would the ruling be? A person is donning his clothing, he's wearing his clothing. Now, a person is in a state of nakedness. Now, to clothe yourself, is that an honorable thing to do? My understanding tells me that that's an honorable thing to do. So when you're putting on your clothing, what should you do? You should start with your right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love starting with his right in all things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So there we covered the first etiquette. And what is that recommended etiquette? That when you go in with your left foot. When you exit with your right foot. The next issue which Ba'fadl mentions would be وَلَا يَحْمِلُ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَاسْمَ رَسُولِهِ. A person should not carry the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَاسْمَ رَسُولِهِ, and neither the name of his messenger, and neither the name of his messenger. What is the proof in that particular regard? The proof reads as follows. The proof reads as follows. An Anasin, and this is narrated on the authority of Anas ibn Malikin, the personal aid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What does it read like? Kana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala al-khala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he would enter the toilet, what we know in our modern nomenclature as the toilet, when he used to enter into the toilet, what did he do? Naza'a khatimahu, he would remove his ring. لأنه منقوص عليه, because it was inscribed upon this particular ring, Muhammad Rasul Allah. What is mentioned there? The name of Allah and the name of the messenger. And for that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam used to remove his ring. Now, the application in this particular regard, as you can see, would be that every aggrandized name, not only the name of Allah and his messenger, every aggrandized name, every name which a lot of value is added to it, grandeur is afforded to it in terms of our Sharia, any such name should be removed before you enter into the toilet. So every aggrandized name, names of the messengers and names of the angels. Here our scholars include whether it is a specific angels or whether it is angels in general, then we should not carry those names with us into the toilet. Now remember, these etiquette are all recommended etiquette. So in other words, it is not haram, it's not impermissible for you to go with that name, for example, in your pocket and so forth. The detail will come now. وَلَا يَحْمِلُ الْقُرْآنِ. And a person should not carry, so he should not carry, the previous slide read, he shouldn't carry anything with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the name of his messenger mentioned on it, and neither should he carry Quran. Quran would be the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ruling here is, it is makruh. Remember, none of the etiquette which we are going to discuss in particular in this class are going to be haram. It might be borderline in terms of being reprehensible, even if he conceals it, like placing it in his pocket, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There is a view within our madhab And that view is held by Imam Al-Adra'i. These are the opinion that it is impermissible. So this is now a breakaway. It is impermissible to carry the Quran with you into the toilet when there is no need for you to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The general ruling in terms of the madhab is that it is permissible, albeit reprehensible. But according to Imam Al-Adra'i, he says because of the sanctity of the Quran, it is impermissible for you to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next etiquette, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next etiquette reads as follows, وَيُغَطِّي رَأْسَهُ. An etiquette for a person relieving himself, either passing water or a stool, he should cover his head. What is the proof for that? The proof for that reads as follows. Imam Al-Bayhaqi narrates in a Mursal Hadith. So a Mursal Hadith is generally considered to be weak, but in matters like these, which refer to virtuous acts, our scholars have chosen to employ weak narrations. This particular weak narration reads as follows: أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا دخل الخلاء, when he used to enter into what you and I refer to as the toilet to relieve himself, لبس حذاءه, he would wear his sandals. So in other words, he would go with shoes. وغطى رأسه, and also he would cover his head. And that is the etiquette that we are talking about. So we've did a few etiquette now. A person goes in with his left foot, comes out with his right foot. He doesn't carry anything which has the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he doesn't carry the Quran with him into the toilet. And here we are discussing the issue of covering the head, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue which we are dealing with would be, where does the person relieve himself? The etiquette in relation to where a person relieves himself or herself. Very important etiquette mentioned here. And al-Islam wa dinu fitra. When we look at these particular rulings, we find that we have a natural inclination towards accepting these rulings, because the rulings of Islam, the very being who created us, is the one who legislated these laws. So there will always be this natural inclination and congruity between our natural inclination, our fitrah on the one hand, and the laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated on the other hand. So the next etiquette here says, وَيَبْعُدُ وَيَسْتَتِرُ. So when a person is relieving himself, the etiquette would be as follows, وَيَبْعُدُ. بَعُدَ يَبْعُدُ means to distance oneself. So when a person is relieving himself, what should he do? He should distance himself from other people. وَيَبْعُدُ. And furthermore, وَيَسْتَتِرُ. Even though he may be distant from other people, he should make satr. In other words, he should cover himself, he should conceal himself. Let us look to the detail, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the detail reads as follows. A person should distance himself to the extent, and this is quite unique for me, and why I gave a short preamble in terms of looking at the ruling and how it goes very much in line with our natural disposition and our natural sense of what is correct and incorrect, what is becoming and what is unbecoming. So a person should distance himself to the extent that no sounds are heard and the smell does not carry. So, for example, if you're traveling, you come across the road, it's an open piece of land, you need to relieve yourself. What do? You distance yourself. To what extent? To the extent that when you are relieving yourself, obviously when a person relieves themselves, there are accompanying sounds to it. You should be that far from company that they don't hear the sounds of that which is exiting when you are passing water or passing stool. And also the smell does not carry. Just very naturally, when you go to the loo, and sometimes people don't cater for this, if you take this etiquette and you apply it to a modern day time, that, you know, the toilet, when we look in our context of African Capetonian context, in days not too long ago, a decade two or three back, even the communities were formed in such a way that the toilet was removed from the house. In other words, if you wanted to relieve yourself, you had to step out of the house and go into the backyard. And at the end of the backyard, you would find the toilet. In other words, the place to relieve yourself. And then the bathhouses used to be a communal bathhouse, which is like within some place within the community. So that principle of distancing oneself when it comes to relieving yourself, that was in olden times. In currently, the toilet forms part and parcel of our homes. There's not the matter of distance. But what at the same time, whilst there's not the issue of distancing, because the toilet is a set place within the confines of your house, but this etiquette can still be maintained as a matter of practice. My personal practice, and Allah SWT knows best, is that if I were to go to the loo and I relieve myself, what would happen is that the same reasons why you would otherwise have distanced yourself, you can still maintain that. So in other words, when a person is finishing the toilet, you either air the toilet out, or you have some sort of fragrance that one would spray. And then also by closing the door, and in doing so, what happens is that sounds don't carry when one is in the toilet. These are things which our Sharia prescribe, and also it comes very naturally to a person. And Allah SWT knows best. Very important, beautiful etiquette that our scholars talk about in terms of relieving ourselves. What is the proof for that? The proof for this particular etiquette in terms of distancing oneself would be the following. Anil Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he says, كنت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر فأتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حاجته. I had accompanied the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم in one of his travels, and he had to fulfill his need. And what did he do? فأبعد. He distanced himself. في المذهب ذهب يذهب means to go. In other words, في الذهاب. In terms of distancing himself from the company that he found himself in, the Prophet ﷺ went a far way off in order for him to fulfill his need over there. And Allah SWT knows best. Interestingly, here again, you might find yourself in a company, you're traveling and on the road, and this happens if you're used to road tripping and doing things like those, then you might have a need along the wayside of the road to relieve yourself. So what happens is, maybe it might not be you, but somebody in your company, and they decide there and then to relieve themselves. If that situation happens, it is primarily the duty of the person relieving himself to distance himself from the company. If he doesn't do so, then the company should distance themselves from the person in that particular way. In other words, if he doesn't observe the proper etiquette, then we in turn would observe the etiquette. It's a beautiful way of looking at things. Many times we're in a company and we just sit there. So if a person isn't following the proper etiquette, then we can not compromise. We can improvise, not compromise. We can improvise by us moving away from him. Whereas initially he was supposed to move away from us, but we can improvise by moving away from him. And Allah SWT knows best. The next concept that we were looking at was وَيَسْتَتِرُ. And that is a person, not only do you distance yourself, but you conceal yourself. And naturally, you know, when there's a roof and we have a building, so the concealment is there. Look, in today's time, in the West, what do we have? We have this idea of designing homes, open plan. So initially, we were introduced to the phenomenon of an open plan kitchen, whereby a person comes into the lounge area and he can see straight into the kitchen. So open plan. That in Western circles has been extended to even having the toilet incorporated into the bedroom as an open plan type of phenomenon. From an Islamic perspective, when a person is in the toilet, then that space, he should not only be distant from others, but he should be concealed from others as well. In some of the modern toilets, what happens, like in the hotels and so forth, you have that the toilet is made up of glass, but you can either shade the glass, or you can keep the glass open. In other words, you can see right through. So as a Muslim, when he goes into the toilet, because he's fulfilling his need, it's not necessary, but the etiquette would be that he actually shades the glass in this particular instance, not allowing other people to look in. So we're going to look very briefly, inshallah, bismillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the detail provided by concealing oneself. So in terms of concealing oneself, what are we going to do? Let's look at the proof first. The proof reads as follows. لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أتى الغائط فليستتر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has actually given us a command in this particular regard, and he says من أتى الغائط, a person who comes to the غائط. غائط refers to the low-lying area. In other words, He's going far and he's coming to the low-lying areas in order for him to fulfill his need. What should he do? فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ, he should conceal himself. So what is the extent of concealment? I'm moving to the other side of the slide now. What is the extent of concealment? So it depends now. If the person is relieving himself by sitting, so he's going to conceal himself. So he needs a barrier. The barrier should at least be 300 millimeters high, because remember, this person is sitting, so his buttocks is going to be fairly close to the ground. So he needs to conceal himself, not necessarily his entire body, but his aura, his nakedness. So at the very least, within a radius of 1.5 meters, he should have a barrier. And the barrier needs to have some breath, not like a sutra that is like basically a stick, but the barrier needs to have some breath. So a barrier, which is like a board, should at least be 300 millimeters high. That is if he is sitting. If the person is standing and passing a urine for whatever reason, then the barrier that is placed in front of him within a radius of 1.5 meters, it must at least be as high as his navel, and Allah SWT knows best. And as you can see, a point which I mentioned a moment ago, it must be placed within 1.5 meters maximum from the person. We, in terms of the class, what are we speaking about? We are talking about etiquette that is recommended. So these are all recommended. However, there is an instance which the shurah bring to light here, and that is, there's an instance where it actually becomes compulsory upon a person to create that barrier, What is that particular instance? Is يَجِبُ السَّطْرِ إِذَا كَانَ بِحَضْرَةِ مَنْ يَرَى أَوْرَتَهُ مِمَّنْ لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ نَظْرُهَا. It becomes compulsory upon a person to conceal himself when relieving himself. In other words, passing water or passing urine, if he's in the presence of a person that can actually see his nakedness, and this person falls into the category that is not permissible for him to look at his nakedness. So let's say, for example, you are in a hotel room, and we spoke about the glass, and you can shade the glass. You don't have to shade the glass. If it is that you're with your wife, and you're going to relieve yourself, and then you can leave, it would be reprehensible, but permissible nevertheless. If it is that a person's wife or spouse is going to look at his private organs. However, if you and I were complete strangers to one another, we find ourselves in one hotel room and I need to relieve myself, then it is compulsory upon me to shade the glass. Why? Because I'm in the presence of a person that's not permissible for him or for her to look at my nakedness, and Allah SWT knows best. We go on to the next issue, bi-ithnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the next issue refers, in terms of etiquette, refers to the phenomenon of passing water in stagnant water. وَلَا يَبُولُ فِي مَاءٍ رَاكِدٍ. The text continues and it reads as follows: وَلَا يَبُولُ فِي مَاءٍ رَاكِدٍ. And a person should not, the etiquette, a person should not pass urine, فِي مَاءٍ رَاكِدٍ, in stagnant water. So we're going to look at a number of things here, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. If you follow the dots over here, or in terms of the PowerPoint presentation, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we're going to look at would be the proof. What is the proof in this particular regard? The etiquette is not to pass urine in stagnant water. What is the proof? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, naha ayyubal fil ma'i rakid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued a prohibition. He prohibited that urine be passed in stagnant water. The second issue would be in terms of the application of this particular rule. The ruling is makruh irrespective of whether the water is a little or a lot. So when we're looking at stagnant water, whether the stagnant water is a little, in other words, less than qullatayn, less than 200 and odd liters, or more than 200 and odd liters, it is inconsequential. It is makruh, it is reprehensible to pass water in stagnant water. However, if it is a massive expanse of water, then it will not be considered makruh to pass water in such an expanse of water. A big lake. In certain cultures, some cultures have a greater affinity, a greater tolerance to this particular phenomenon, where other cultures have a lesser tolerance to this particular phenomenon. If there's a great expanse of water, it's accepted amongst certain groups of people. A child, he wants to pass urine. They tell him, and they said out loudly, go into the water and pass urine in the water. And nobody seems to mind that particular phenomenon. But that's in which application? in an application whereby there's a great and massive expanse of water, like the seawater by way of example. Look, that is not stagnant water, it's moving water. But I wish to exercise a point which our scholars have highlighted. And what is that particular point? That when it comes to stagnant water, if it is a little or a lot, it is reprehensible. However, when that stagnant water is massive, they refer to it as mustabahir. When it's a massive expanse of water and a stagnant water, the water is standing still. In a sense that people don't really have an aversion for this particular phenomenon happening, and it does happen in certain circles, there's no denying that. Then in that particular instance, our scholars say, it is not reprehensible to pass urine in that massive expanse of water, even though it may be stagnant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Our scholars add to that, there's another etiquette that applies over here, and they say, وَيُكْرَهُ التَّبَوُّلْ وَالتَّغَوُّتْ فِي الْمَاءِ لَيْلًا مُطْلَقًا. When it comes to nighttime, whatever we've explained relates to daytime. At nighttime, and some of the scholars opine that's because the jinn occupy those particular spaces at nighttime, and therefore it is reprehensible to do the following. What is that? To pass water or to pass stool at night unrestrictedly, irrespective of whether the water is flowing water or whether it is stagnant water. Mustabhiran aw ghayra mustabhirin, whether it is a massive expanse of water or not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are certain instances where it becomes completely impermissible for you to pass urine into water. And that would be وَيَحْرُمُ ذَلِكَ فِي الْمَاءِ الْمُسْتَبَّلِ, water that's flowing and going on to the next person, وَالْمَمْلُوكِ لِغَيْرِهِ, and water which is owned by somebody else. To pass urine in that particular water, no matter what the amount of water is, whether it's flowing or not flowing, it is impermissible because that water belongs to somebody else, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We continue, and a little running water and holes. In other words, we come into a different etiquette now. What about, we spoke about passing urine in stagnant water. If it is little water, then it's reprehensible. And if it's a lot of water, it's also reprehensible, as we discussed a moment ago. And now, وَلَا فِي قَلِيلٍ جَارٍ. And likewise, it is reprehensible for a person to pass urine into a little bit of running water. And وَلَا فِي جُحْرٍ, and into an indentation. That's basically what I looked at in terms of a translation. But inshallah, hopefully, you will understand what my intent thereby is. When it comes to indentation in the earth, it is either one of the following. The terminology which our scholars use are as follows. The one term would be a sarb, and the other one would be a juhar. Let's go to the word juhar first, because juhar we can translate as a hole in the earth. But juhar, from the Arabic language perspective, the following definition is given. What is the definition? وَثَّقَبُ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ النَّازِلِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It refers to a hole. And what type of a hole? A round hole, and nazil fil al, which goes down. So in other words, this lengthy definition is covered up by a single word in terms of the English language, and that is a hole. So it is permissible, albeit reprehensible, for you to pass urine into a hole. And that is juhar. What about a sarb? A sarb, on the other hand, is a shaq. It is a shaq, would basically refer to a crevice if you wanted to. Shaqqa shuku means to break. You know, when you break something, like, but you don't, let's say you don't like remove them completely from each and other. So what do you have? You have like a crevice. So wa shaqqul mustatil, and a horizontal line fil ard, in the earth, that you refer to as a sarb. So now a person finds himself in the earth, it is reprehensible for a person to pass urine or stool in either a hole or a crevice. And I use the word indentation from the outset so that we can cover both concepts. So what is the ruling in this particular regard? It is reprehensible. Why? Because Naha Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ayyubala fil juhri wa li'annahu qad yakun fi hayawan da'ifun fayata'adha. The reason primarily is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from passing urine or stool in a hole. The second reason is that there could be a living entity in that hole, and when you pass urine or stool and the animal is harmed thereby, or alternatively, you could incite the animal to harm you. So the harm can either be to the animal, or the harm could be to yourself. Alternatively, our scholars mentioned, and remember we said at the beginning, we're going to be talking about the etiquette. So that's the etiquette, it's makruh for you to do that. However, if a person knows, in other words, in terms of probability, that an animal does reside there. And if you're going to pass water, pass urine into that hole, then you're definitely going to harm the animal. Then in that particular instance, it becomes outright impermissible, haram, for you to pass urine into that hole. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَلَا فِي ظِلٍّ مَقْصُودٍ. The text goes on, and we're now discussing another particular phenomenon in terms of the etiquette of passing urine or stool. وَلَا فِي ظِلٍّ مَقْصُودٍ. It is a person that is leaving himself should not pass urine and stool in a hole or in a crevice, and neither في ظِلٍّ مَقْصُودٍ, in shadows, مَقْصُودٍ, which is intended. So a shadow would be intended for which purpose? A person is traveling and he requires shade. So he's looking for the shady tree and he's going to sit beneath that. In that area, a shadow which serves a particular purpose for you to pass water or stool in that particular area would be considered reprehensible. Now that would be in the summertime, because in summertime people are looking for shade. As for wintertime, then it is reprehensible for you to pass urine in sunlight, because in winter people aren't looking for the shade, they're looking for the sunlight, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So there's a principle which our scholars draw from here, as mentioned here, and that is every such place that is intended for an objective like living or like taking an afternoon nap and so forth, any such place for you to pass urine there would be considered to be reprehensible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue that we are talking about would be وَلَا فِي طَرِيقٍ, and neither, in other words, a person should not, in other words, it is reprehensible for a person to pass urine in a path. Now, a pathway can fit into one of two categories. Either it is unused or abandoned, so it doesn't apply to that. You're traveling, you're on a path, but it's a completely abandoned path, or the path has been closed, whatever the case may be. For you to pass urine there wouldn't take the same ruling. We are talking about a path that is currently in usage. It is reprehensible for you to pass urine there. What is the proof for that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said to us, ittaqu al-la'anain, that steer clear from two things that result in you being cursed a lot. Qalu, the companion says, O Prophet of Allah, wa mal la'anan, what are those two things that would result in curses being hurled against us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, alladhi yatakhalla fi tariqin nas aw fi dhillihim. One of those persons would be the person who uses a pathway as a place to relieve himself. And this is common knowledge. If you happen to trample into something as a result of a person defecating, excuse the language, akramakumullah, may Allah honor you, you're going to curse that person. And that's a natural consequence of the person doing something or cleaning after themselves. In today's time, there's an extended application to that. Many people have animals, and they are irresponsible owners of the animals. So when they walk their dogs, by way of example, then the dogs poo, but they don't pick up the dog poo. So somebody walks along that path, and then if he tramps in it, he's going to curse. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us, steer clear of the curse of people. In other words, don't do such things that will induce people or cause people to curse you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next issue in terms of the etiquette. It continues and it reads as follows. وَتَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ مُثْمِرَةٍ. Our scholars say, and it is further reprehensible for a person to fulfill his need, pass urine or stool beneath a fruit-bearing tree. Why is that? Why is a person prohibited from doing that? I'm just going to go back. Excuse me, why is a person prohibited from doing that? Because to prevent the selling of the fruit when it falls. So a person, what he does is, he passes stool or urine beneath a fruit-bearing tree. That fruit is going to fall, and it may fall onto the urine or may fall onto the stool, and thereby the fruit is sullied. وَمَحَلُّ الْكَرَاءُ. Scholars explain, and they say that this would be impermissible when the land that we are talking about is either public land, or it belongs to the person that is passing urine or stool over there, then it is simply reprehensible. Well, if not, if the land belongs to somebody else, that fruit-bearing tree belongs to somebody else, then haruma ma lam ya'lam aw yadhunnu ridha sahiba. It will be impermissible for him to pass urine there unless he knows that the owner of the tree wouldn't have a problem with that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is meant by thamara? We may think to ourselves that you can't pass urine or stool beneath a fruit-bearing tree. That is going to refer to fruit that you eat. No, it doesn't only refer to fruit that you're going to eat, but rather what is intended by fruit would be ma yuqsadu min ash-shajara aklan kat-tufah. What is intended from a given tree for eating purposes, for example, like an apple. So and beneath an apple tree, you cannot pass urine or stool. Aw shamman, or people come close there to smell. So now you're going to urinate there. It's going to sully the area. Kal yasmin, like jasmine, for example. Aw isti'mal al-qalqard, like pods. You have people, there's a tree that grows pods, and that pods are used for tanning and so forth. Then for you to urinate beneath such a tree is considered to be reprehensible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next issue bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of the etiquette of relieving oneself. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمْ, a person should not engage in interlocution, a person should not be speaking while he is fulfilling his need, except if there's a need. Look, if there's a need, for example, you're relieving yourself and you see the child, for example, going and falling or touching something harmful, then in that particular instance, because of the need, then you should actually speak as opposed to remaining silent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So why is it reprehensible for a person who's fulfilling his need to engage in speech? Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. What does it read as? لا يخرج الرجلان يضربان الغائط كاشفين عورتهما يتحدثان فإن الله تعالى يمقت على ذلك. The Prophet ﷺ said that two persons should not exit, and they fulfilling the need, and in a state whereby they uncover the nakedness, and they are chatting to one another. So in other words, whilst the person is relieving himself, he should not be engaged in speech and interlocution. Why? For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that. كَرَاهِيَةُ الْكَلَامُ مُتَعَلِّكٌ بِحَالِ خُرُوجِ الْخَارِجِ عَلَى الْمُعْتَمَدِ. Here they have an interesting addition. And our scholars, according to the Mu'tamad in terms of the Shafi'i school of thought, it says that it is reprehensible for you to be engaging in speech whilst you are relieving yourself. What does it mean? Does it mean that whilst you are in the toilet, or whilst you are actually relieving yourself? In other words, at that particular point whereby you are passing water, or at that particular point where you are relieving yourself. In other words, you are causing stool, you are defecating stool to come out of your body. The reprehensiveness in terms of speak, is it during that particular time or whilst you're at the toilet? The Mu'tamad says the reprehensible aspect refers to whilst you are passing water. That is, whilst you are urinating, whilst you are passing stool. As for when you're in that particular area and you are not passing urine and you are not passing stool, then the karaha, the reprehensiveness, it falls away, and Allah SWT knows best. However, there are a number of our latter-day scholars who say that it's not limited to when you are actually urinating and actually passing stool. For as long as you find yourself in that space, then it is reprehensible for you to engage in speech, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next issue, and this will be the second last issue of our class today, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the recommended acts whilst a person is fulfilling his need, would read as follows. وَيَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَيَقُولُ إِذَا دَخَلَ. And a person should make istibara. In other words, he should remain on the toilet pot in terms of our terminology, akramakumullah, may Allah honor you, he should remain on the toilet pot until he is certain that all of his urine and all of his stool has exited from his body. وَيَقُولُ إِذَا دَخَلَ. And the last etiquette would be that when a person enters into the toilet, or rather before entering into the toilet, you should say Bismillahi. In the name of Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, seek refuge in you from the khubuth and khaba'ith. And when he exits, he should say the following, Ghufranak, glory be to you, O Allah. Or, ayyaba, thank you, O Allah. Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praise due to Allah. Alladhi, the one who has adhaba, removed from me al-adha, harm, wa'afani, and he has granted me health. So what is the proof of istibara? The proof of istibara, in other words, to ascertain and to make sure that you have completely relieved yourself and there are no urine droplets left that you're going to stand up and that is going to exit or stool in that particular regard, may Allah honor you. Ibn Abbas narrates from the Prophet ﷺ that the Prophet ﷺ passed by two graves and he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ, that they are being punished. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ, they're not being punished for what you consider to be a great thing. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا, as for the one of them, فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَبْرِئُ مِنَ الْبَوْتِ, he didn't take the necessary precautionary measures in terms of ensuring that he had relieved himself properly. So you'd stand up and certain urine droplets would splash on him or other impurities. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرِ, as for the second person who is being punished for something that you do not consider to be great, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَ, this person would carry tails, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this brings us to an end of the lesson which deals with the etiquette of relieving oneself. In the next episode, in the next lesson, inshallah, we will be going into istinja proper, and there we will be looking at the legal rulings in terms of relieving oneself. In other words, when you pass urine and when you pass stool, we've got the etiquettes covered now. What is it necessary for you to do when you relieve yourself in order for you to have istinja? In other words, talabun naja, for you to be safe and free of impurities. And consequent to that, you can perform a wudu, a valid wudu, and in turn your salah will be valid. That brings us to an end of the class, alhamdulillah. And now we will have a few moments for a question that you may have, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will conclude thereafter. Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum. Can you define istibra? So the word istibra comes from the root letters bari'a yabra'u, which basically means to seek to be free from. So istibra, which would be on the 10th scale. And the 10th scale, generally the meaning would be talabu al-bara'a. So to seek to be free from. So what is meant really would be that when a person has relieved himself, so then at the end it is recommended that he perform istibra. In other words, to seek to be free from any forms of impurities and any form of remnants. In other words, what may remain behind, he has relieved himself, but to make istibra, to make doubly sure that he is free from urine or from stool in that particular regard, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that is a recommended act. Barakallahu feekum. Barakallahu feekum. If that's the only questions that we have, inshallah, then we will conclude our class, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And up until we meet next week, inshallah, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same place, same time. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.